Father in heaven, it is evident to me that you are working already in our midst, that you are drawing us into your presence. And Father, this is what we ask. This is what we want. This is why we're here. And as we come before you this day, we ask you to forgive us our sins, Lord, because we know that our sin will separate us from you. Forgive us, Father. We have failed to represent you rightly this week. Maybe even today. We have said things that we shouldn't have. Our minds have been dwelling on stuff that we should let go. And so we are coming to you, Lord, broken and asking for the blood of Christ to wash away our sin. We ask, Lord, we bring to you the Lamb of God. And you have promised that if we confess our sins, that you are faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And Father, at this moment, we're in the midst of a series on how to approach you, how to worship you. And you know, Lord, that apart from your help, our efforts are feeble and meaningless. And so we're asking for the outpouring of your Spirit. But Lord, we're asking for you to work for us today the way you have worked for your people in the past, when prayer was answered by fire coming from the sky and lighting an altar. We're asking for that today. We're asking for your presence here, that you will truly glorify your own name. And Lord, you know the weak and broken instrument that will be your representative. I pray that you will truly set him on fire, that we will hear and see Christ. I pray, Lord, that you'll guard this hour, that there will be no distraction, that you may speak to us, that your servants may hear. And now, Lord, I wish to give the congregation an opportunity to present to you. This morning, we are continuing our series on worship, and this is message number 3 of a 4-part series. In our first message, part 1, entitled The Temple of God, we talked about the work of Jesus when he came to this world as the Messiah to save us. And his work of reform began with the reform of the worship of Israel. And we talked briefly about that our worship reveals our concept of God. And if our concept is wrong, then our worship will be wrong. And if our worship is wrong and our concept is wrong, then our development will be wrong, because God created us to imitate. By beholding, we become changed. So it is the reason we study our Bibles is to know God, and our worship will reflect it. In the second sermon, it was entitled, Does It Really Matter? And we asked the question, does it really matter how we worship God so long as we do? Or is God particular about how he is worshiped? And in our study, through Scripture, we discovered that God is particular about how he is worshiped. For the simple fact that unholy beings don't know how to worship a holy God. And so unholy beings have to go to a holy God to ask a holy God how he wishes to be worshiped. And then, with contrite hearts, we respond to a loving and holy God. And in that sermon, we discovered that worship has always been at the center of the great controversy. That in heaven, where the rebellion began, it began over worship. It spilled over to planet Earth, and it continues to be the problem until the end. At the very end, the final conflict will be over worship. We discovered that the Bible only identifies two forms of worship, true and false. The issue in the end revolves around two points, how God is worshiped and when God is worshiped. We find that in the first angel's message. And so the remaining two sermons of this series are going to deal with the manner in which God is worshiped as well as the day. Today we'll address the day. In my final presentation on this subject, we will address the manner. Now this morning, our focus is going to be on the day. Now since you and I are Seventh-day Adventists, we're not going to study which day is the Sabbath. I think we pretty well figured that out. But rather, we're going to address the idea of keeping it holy. When God asks to keep the day holy, what is He asking? What does that mean? What instructions has the Lord given us regarding this day that He calls holy? If you have your Bibles with you, if you'll please open it to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter what, brothers and sisters? 20. This is the instruction that the Lord gave to Israel when He freed them from the bondage of Egypt. Now that they were freed, now they can obey. And in Exodus 20, I am going to pick up in verse 8, and we're going to read through 11. If you are there, say amen. Amen. Remember. In fact, let's read it together. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your manservant, nor your maidservant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. When I'm going to share a story with you. I debated whether to share it, but we're family. And one thing I really appreciate about the Lord is He doesn't pull punches, you know. And I'm thankful. But I had just arrived in a new district. I remember this district for a couple reasons, and one of them was it was one of the districts in which we actually unpacked the fastest. Amazing. We were set up in 3 days. But the other thing I remember this district for is because of this incident. This church was attached to an institution. And after we had set up shop and my family was taken care of, I wanted to walk over to the church. It was a weekday. And also check out the institution. I wanted to familiarize myself with my new surroundings. And it was within walking distance, and so I was walking to the church. And on my way there, I passed the home of one of the employees of the institution. And they saw me. And they walked out to meet me there on the sidewalk, and they greeted me to the district. They knew of me. I had seen this woman in meetings before, even though we had never really formally met. And so she introduced herself, and she was appreciative of me accepting the call to come there. And we had a real nice, a real pleasant exchange. But at the very end of the exchange, towards the end, she got very serious, and she took a step towards me, which indicated that she wanted to share something with me that she had a burden for, and this matter was very serious. And so she looked at me and she says, "Pastor, I have to give you a warning." And I said, "Oh, okay, and what is that?" She said, "Whatever you do, don't ever preach a sermon here on how to keep the Sabbath holy." And I looked at her, and that was kind of my reaction, and I thought, really? I said, "Okay, and why is that?" And she went on to tell me that there were influential members within the church that were not keeping the Sabbath holy. And if I dared to preach such a message, I would lose my job. And so I thanked her for being so kind and watching out for me. And I walked on to the church. It was empty. I walked in. I went to my office. I walked in, closed the door behind me, and I knelt by my desk. And I said, "Lord, I know now why you brought me here. You tell me when, and I'll deliver that message." And you know, the day came. It was an amazing experience. I did not lose my job. And I saw revival and reformation break out in that church. My friends, there has been a slide on our keeping this day holy. As a people, we have forgotten something. And it couldn't come at a worse time. The storm clouds are gathering, and they are soon to burst upon us. If there was ever a time that we need to understand what this day means to us, it is now. I want to share with you a couple quotes from the Spirit of Prophecy. It's found in your paper. The first one is Volume 6, Testimonies, page 353. It says, far more sacredness is attached to the Sabbath than is given it by many professed Sabbath keepers. The Lord has been greatly dishonored by those who have not kept the Sabbath according to the commandment, either in the letter or in the spirit. He calls for reform in the observance of the Sabbath. My prayer is that that reform will take place in my life and in our life. My prayer is that what God is doing right now to prepare a people for the coming of Jesus will be unleashed in this congregation, beginning with me. Signs of the Times, 1886. One of the principal ways, watch this, one of the principal ways in which the Jews departed from God was in the desecration of the Sabbath. The heathen around them disregarded God's holy day, and through association with these idolatrous neighbors, many had been led to imitate their example. You know, the reality is that America is a pagan nation. It is not a Christian nation. Don't be deceived. And we are bombarded, brothers and sisters, constantly. Isn't it true? I mean, you can't go out and buy groceries without being bombarded by the things of this world. It's intrusive. And so it behooves us to be drawing closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. But a reform will take place. It's promised. And I want to be part of it. Great Controversy 451. We find here that the Bible predicts it. The work of Sabbath reform to be accomplished in the last days is foretold in the prophecy of Isaiah. Thus says the Lord, keep ye judgment and do justice, for my salvation is near to come, and my righteousness to be revealed. Blessed is the man that doth this, and the son of man that layeth hold upon it, that keepeth the Sabbath from what? Polluting it, and keepeth his hand from doing any evil. The sons of the stranger that join themselves to the Lord to serve him, and to love the name of the Lord, to be his servants, everyone that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it, and taketh hold of my covenant, even them will I bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. I want to be there. The fourth commandment, which we have read, begins with a very clear directive. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. As Seventh-day Adventists, we teach that we know what is the correct day to worship God. Amen? But is that enough? Is it enough that we know the day? The Jews knew the day, didn't they? And they crucified the Lord of glory. In other words, do we really understand what God is saying when He commands us to keep this day holy? In fact, the question has to be asked, how do fallen mortals keep holy something that God has made holy? And the only way is by going to that holy God and asking Him how. Now, I want to say that the study that you have in your hand and I'm going to share is not exhaustive. It isn't. I have been studying and what I have shared there in that document is basically what I have discovered so far in my journey. So I ask you to go beyond where I am taking you today. The question that we seek to answer this morning is, how does one keep the Sabbath holy? And what we're going to find is that keeping the Sabbath holy involves at least four things. Number one, keeping involves planning. Number two, keeping involves guarding the sacred hours. Number three, keeping involves joy and rest. And number four, keeping involves hope. So let's unpack this. How do we keep the Sabbath holy? Number one, keeping involves planning. It is something that we prepare for. You know, when I was dating my beautiful wife, and right now I've misplaced her. I don't know, will you wave your hand? Oh, there she is. Okay. I've been looking for you. But when we were dating, the date was coming, you didn't have to remind me. And I made sure the car was clean, and the inside and out, by the way. And I made sure that everything that I was going to wear was already planned out. I didn't want anything to go wrong. Do you remember, friends? I know I'm not the only one. We have a date once a week with God. And when the children of Israel are being brought through the wilderness as they were approaching Sinai, The Lord was trying to communicate to them how to get ready for that date. Let's take a look at the instruction here. Exodus 16, 22 to 30. And what we're going to find is that God produced a miracle as an object lesson. The manna would fall every day, and they were to take only a day, only what they would need for that day. And if they took any more, what would happen to it? It would rot. So that's miracle one. And then on Friday, God brought twice as much and asked them to gather twice as much. Miracle two. And then on Sabbath, what happened to that extra? It was good. It didn't rot. Miracle three. And so through this threefold miracle, God was teaching them how to keep His Sabbath holy. Let's look at the instruction, Exodus 16, 22 to 30. And so it was on the sixth day that they gathered twice as much bread, two omers for each one. And all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. Then he said to them, "This is what the Lord has said. Tomorrow is a Sabbath rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you will bake today, and boil what you will boil, and lay up for yourselves all that remains to be kept until morning." God wanted them to prepare. Let's look at a quote here, Review and Herald, 1897. And by the way, I want to say, I am so thankful for the spirit of prophecy. You know, I'll be honest with you. I wish God would give that gift to somebody today. And if they did, I want to hear what God has to say. I want to hear the Lord. I can't get enough of it because I want to hear God. And I'm so thankful to the Lord for the instruction He has given to us as a people. May God help us to avail ourselves of that instruction. So let's take a look here. Review and Herald, 1897. We need to prepare for the Sabbath. The clothing that we shall wear on that day is to be put in order. The boots should not be left unblackened or unpolished until the Sabbath. You dishonor God by doing this work on that day. How easy it is to allow reckless neglect of the preparation for the Sabbath. You know, brothers and sisters, it's very interesting to me, but if your date was to show up and your date forgot to put gas in the car and your date forgot to make the reservations at the restaurant and you got there and then all that mess and just kept forgetting, what is the message your date is telling you? You're not that important. Does that make sense? And so preparation actually sends a message to God of how important He is to us, how important He is to me. But there's more. We need to consider something. I don't know if you were aware, but J.N. Andrews, as he was dying of tuberculosis, that mind, that incredible mind, does anybody here remember or know what was the last thing he studied before he died? There was something he totally devoted himself to before he died. It was Sabbath. And not only the Sabbath, but in a prophetic sense. Because what happened is that J.N. Andrews came to the realization that the sin problem is going to last about 6,000 years. The 1,000 years that we call the millennium, guess where we're going to keep it? In heaven. We're living in a week of time. So what are you saying, Pastor? That each week during those 6 days is actually an object lesson that we should be preparing for that time in heaven. The Sabbath is that time with God. And so we are to prepare. And then Friday, the only 2 days that have a name is preparation and Sabbath. The others are numbers pointing us back to creation week. But it's to remind us that what we didn't get to during the week, we take care of that day so that we have no distractions. You know, in my home, we have endeavored to teach to have our clothes already out. Why? Because otherwise the devil gets into the details. Where's my belt? Where are my shoes? I thought my... Am I lying? And so the devil spoils the day. That's what he's after anyway. But when we make these preparations ahead of time, we don't go through that. We don't have that to deal with. You know, I want to encourage y'all, try getting everything ready 30 minutes before the Sabbath. Make that the goal. Why? Let's guard the edges of the Sabbath. Let's guard those edges. And you know, one thing I like to do in my home is play meditative music, Sabbath Christian meditative music. And you know, we're really blessed to have 106.1, amen? We can play that. And if maybe there's talking going on and you want to hear music instead, get your pencils ready. You're all staring at me. Get your pencils. And write down Abiding Radio. Abiding Radio. You know what it is? All right. Abiding Radio. And get it on your internet. Abiding Radio. And you can do instrumental or vocal, or I go for the instrumental. Click that, Abiding Radio. Fill your house with godly music as the Sabbath approaches. And you know, on Friday night, make it special, especially those of you who are parents. You know, when we were growing up, one of the things we did to make Sabbath special, we asked the kids what they wanted to eat, and they wanted pancakes. We made them as healthy as we could, okay? But we had pancakes. That's what our kids had. We wanted Sabbath to be special. And then we would listen to Pathway of the Pioneers. I have mentioned that to you here. Or some other stories, a story that we kept special for the Sabbath. But we did what we knew to do, is we asked God to teach us to make that day very special for our children. But it involves preparation. That's the first thing about keeping the Sabbath holy. We need to be intentional. Amen? The second thing involves, the keeping involves guarding the sacred hours. Number one, we learn that there is to be no secular work done on the Sabbath. How much work? Exodus 20 verse 9 says, 6 days shall you labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. You know, when we lived in North Carolina, the first time we moved there, we lived in New Hanover County, for those of you who may be familiar. And on the very tip of New Hanover County was Fort Fisher. It was an old Civil War fortress that they had part of it they converted into an aquarium. And I like to go to the aquarium. And the first time I visited the aquarium, had some really nice landscaping. And there was a little sign on the grass that if in those days I had my cell phone, I would have taken a picture of it because of what it said. And Drew and Alan, I know you all have done landscaping. You're going to like this. But this is what the little sign said. Are you ready? Please do not walk, amble, march, pace, hike, hobble, toddle, mosey, tread, tramp, trudge, trek, stride, sashay, stroll, saunter, stomp, stray, shamble, shuffle, meander, roam, rove, drive, hop, drift, skip, leap, jump, journey, plod, lumber on our grass. Now that sign told me two things. Number one, they don't want you on the grass. And number two, people were making excuses to bypass the request. If you look carefully in the fourth commandment, you will find that the Lord has done a similar thing. In it, you shall do no work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. Brothers and sisters, I say this with the utmost humility, but I must say it. To violate this is treason to the government of God. It is treason. James reminds us that when we break one commandment, we have broken them all. Every one of them. If we break one, we have broken all of them. Now, someone might say, but Pastor, you know, what if I just work every once in a while? Let's try that with one of the other commandments. How about adultery? What if I just commit every once in a while? Does that work? No, it is a violation of God's law. And I want to expand this a little bit more. I want to illustrate it with some questions. Is it okay for me to lie? Where do you get that? The commandments. Okay? Okay. Well, then is it okay if I get somebody else to lie for me? No. Is it okay for me to steal? Where do you get that? Is it okay if I have somebody else steal for me? That's right. That's right. That's right, Jacob. How about murder? Can I murder? Is it okay if I have somebody else do it for me? Can I work on the Sabbath? Is it okay if I have somebody else do it for me? That is not okay. Because I'm an accessory to the crime. But brothers and sisters, I think that we haven't broadened enough what this is tying in. You know, if I own a restaurant on the Sabbath, am I to work at it on the Sabbath? If I have employees, am I to have them work on it on the Sabbath? Okay, so it's Sabbath, and I quit working on the Sabbath, and I tell my employees, guys, the Sabbath is coming, go home. So on my way home, I should have gone home sooner because the sun came down on my way, and I notice I'm a little hungry. Can I walk into someone else's restaurant? For the same reason, because I'm having them work for me. How could I witness to them that the seventh day is the Sabbath and we should do no work while I'm placing my order? And the reality is that the law that's going to judge me in the end is going to judge them too. I cannot be accomplice to their sin. Is this not true? We have to remember, brothers and sisters, that the crisis of the ages is just before us. And it's going to center on the Sabbath. In Revelation 13, I'm not turning there now, I have the reference, tells us that the issue is going to be about buying and at the end. And if I am capitulating now, I submit to you that when the crisis comes, I will not recognize it as a crisis. It's very interesting. We know that in the last days, the issue is going to revolve around buying, selling, and Sabbath. Is that not true? Is there any place else in the Bible where we find buying, selling, and Sabbath combined? The book of Nehemiah. And you remember the book of Nehemiah, you have the children of Israel who were sent into captivity because of their apostasy are brought back. And they're back in Jerusalem. They're going through difficult times. Ezra was the first leader, and he's trying to get the temple built and bring reforms. And the Lord sends in reinforcements, Nehemiah. Nehemiah comes in, and he's working with Ezra and helping with the reforms and the building of the wall. He goes back to Persia for some business, and upon his return, he finds the reforms have slipped badly. Let's take a look at what he has to say regarding it. Nehemiah 13, 15 through 18, and it says this. In those days, I saw people in Judah treading winepress on the Sabbath and bringing in sheaves and loading donkeys with wine, grapes, figs, and all kinds of burdens, which they brought into Jerusalem on what day? There's point one. And I warned them about the day in which they are, point two, provisions. Now, there were Gentiles there. Men of Tyre dwelt there also, who brought in fish and all kinds of goods, and what? There's your third, the selling. Sold them on the Sabbath to the children of Judah and in Jerusalem. Then I contended with the nobles, these are the leaders of Judah, and said to them, what evil thing is this that you do? By the way, one of the reasons he was calling them out is because they remained silent. What evil thing is this that you do by which you profane the Sabbath day? Did not your fathers do thus? And did not our God bring all this disaster on us and on the city? Yet you bring added wrath on Israel by profaning the Sabbath. This is the test that is going to come upon us. It's coming. It is coming upon us. Brothers and sisters, I am fully convinced that you and I are going to see it. But you know, it's not just our activities. God is also speaking to our thoughts. We got to guard those. Just take a look at Amos. Amos 8, verse 4 and 5. It says, hear this, you who swallow up the needy and make the poor of the land fail, saying, when will the new moon be passed that we may sell grain and the Sabbath that we may trade our wheat? It's interesting. So here are a group who are obeying the letter of the law. They're not working. But where's their head? They're doing the Sabbath countdown. So spiritually, they weren't keeping it. Let's take a look at Counsels for the Church, page 46. The words and thoughts should be guarded. Those who discuss business matters and lay plans on the Sabbath are regarded of God as though they engaged in the actual transaction of business. To keep the Sabbath holy, we should not even allow our minds to dwell upon things of a worldly character. By the way, is the devil going to do his best to stick that stuff in your head? Is it a sin if he places it there? When does it become a sin? When we take it up and start chewing on it. Is that right? When we take ownership of it. And so we got to dismiss it. One thing I have found, by the way, the Sabbath is an interesting barometer to me for where my thoughts are during the week. And if I find myself fighting the thought all Sabbath long, it's kind of the Lord's way of saying, you are spending way too much time on this through the week. You need to spend more time with me. Does that make sense? It becomes a bit of a barometer. And so we have to understand that the Sabbath is the sign that we are His people and He is our God. And so on this day, we are seeking to do those things He asks us to do because we want to honor Him. And you know, when the children of Israel were facing judgment, as the Babylonians were starting to stir up and soon would be knocking on the door of Jerusalem, God sent a prophet. God sent a prophet to them to turn them back to their allegiance, and that prophet was Isaiah. And it's interesting, Isaiah 58, I really encourage you to just Sabbath, just go home and read this. Let's compare our lives to it. It's humbling. And God was talking to His people, and they couldn't understand why God wasn't working on their behalf, and that's because they weren't obeying Him. They weren't. And it's very interesting because He begins to list the things that needed to be seen in their lives, and He ends with the Sabbath. And if you look at the context and the structure, the Sabbath actually is the catalyst to make the other things come to fruition. Isaiah 58, verse 13 and 14 reads as follows. If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and shall honor Him, not doing your ways, nor finding your own pleasures, nor speaking your own words, then you shall delight yourself in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth, and feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. I love the way that ends. Don't you? He's telling us, what I will do for you, I guarantee. That's what He says. I love the way that ends. You know, I remember when I share with you my testimony. And when I began to come back to the Lord, I looked at everything that I had been taught as truth, and I began to reevaluate it. Now, I had been told that this was truth, and this is truth, this is truth. I wanted to see for myself if it was. One of the first places I began was the Sabbath. And I asked the Lord a question before I began my study. Lord, how is it that everyone else can be wrong and these Adventists be right? And so I decided to study the matter out for myself. Novel idea. And it was true, the Sabbath was Saturday. But then I ran into a problem because the Lord was asking me to keep it holy, and all the big college games were on Saturday. And it was a battle royale for me, I'll be honest with you. But you know something, you know what tips the scale for me? Is that Jesus died for me. It was Jesus who got me through school. It was Jesus who kept me from taking my life. And so I made a decision based on gratitude and not on my own personal feelings. It was a decision based on gratitude, and I decided to keep the Sabbath holy. And it wasn't long before I began to realize the blessing in it. I love the Sabbath. I love the Sabbath. I'll be honest with you. It's a busy day for me because I'm the pastor. But when I was teaching, I was out in the fields. I was out in the woods. The Sabbath is precious. You know what's so cool? Is that when we make the decision to serve God and to honor His Sabbath day according to His commands, the Bible calls us something. And it's found in Isaiah 58. He refers to us as the repairers of the breach. That to me is cool. There ought to be a t-shirt that has the Ten Commandments on the back and the front, the Fourth Commandment in the back and on the front, the repairers of the breach. Who wants to join me in being the repairers of the breach? The Sabbath is special. And it is to be treated special because it is time that we spend with our God. Not to do our own thing, but His thing. You know, as a kid, it wasn't explained to me, I guess, and it was just a matter of don't. And it's true, there are don'ts. Just like when we took our marriage vow, there are don'ts. But those don'ts are based on love. And what God is actually doing by the don'ts is removing the distractions that's going to keep our time in between our time with Him. How many of you have ever called someone and you knew that they were either on the phone or they were watching something? I mean, they were either watching TV or on the internet. Have you ever talked to somebody and you knew they didn't have your attention? How did you feel? Second place? I don't know about you, but you know, there are certain things. I have some pet peeves, forgive me. That's one. Because that's so dishonoring. That's so disrespectful. And so I tell people when I'm on the phone, I go, hey, you know what? It's obvious you're busy. When you're done, you call me. Because that really bothers me. But is that what we're doing to God? The Lord wants to spend time with us. You know, we all have our story. I loved my father. My father, as I shared with you, was a workaholic. And he came from a really messed up home, and he did the best he could. I love my father. But my father did not know how to spend time with me. I remember as a child begging my father, begging him to spend time with me. My dad didn't know how. And whenever I think of the Sabbath, it blows my mind to think that I have a father that wants to spend time with me. He wants to. I remember doing a Bible study when I was out in Fletcher. I often did studies there at the elementary. And I had a student there. I believe he was in 8th grade, 7th or 8th grade, and we were having baptismal studies, and we were talking about the Sabbath, and I was trying to make a connecting point with him, and I was sharing with him. I said, you know, it's like when you spend time with your dad. When your dad says, let's spend the day together. That's what the Sabbath is. And that kid looked me in the eye and he said, my dad never spends time with me. He didn't have that connection. But brothers and sisters, I am here to tell you this morning, your father wants to spend time with you. And he wants no distractions. It's not about don'ts. It's about getting the distractions out of the way so we can spend time together. That's what the Sabbath is about. It's keeping our next section. Keeping. So it's guarding those sacred hours. Our next one is keeping involves joy and rest. You know, I want to encourage all here that if you want to study Sabbath keeping, study the life of Jesus. Imitate Christ. You will never go wrong. And you know what? By the way, if you study the record clearly, they wanted to kill him because of his Sabbath keeping. Study it. It was the Sabbath keeping that they wanted to kill him for. But Jesus is always the safest example on how to keep the Sabbath holy. In Desire of Ages 281, it says, He, Christ, gave it to Adam as a day of what? Let me stop right there. You know, as we near the end of history, our workplace environments are getting more and more stressful. God gave you a day to rest. If you want to go home and take a nap, take it. But let that not be the sum total of your Sabbath experience. You need a nap, you take your nap. God gave you that day for rest. But then don't let that be your whole experience. Does that make sense? You're going to rob yourself. Don't let that be the whole thing. I keep reading. It was a memorial of the work of creation and thus a sign of God's power and His what? It's His love. The Sabbath is a time to encounter that love. We're going to see how. First of all, it is a day of fellowship and worship. Leviticus 23:3 says, 6 days shalt thou work be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath, a solemn rest. A holy what? Convocation. You shall do no work on it. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. How wonderful it is to come into this house together and worship as a family. We may be dealing with all kinds of crazy stuff out in the world, but we can come in here as a family together, as people that worship the same God and believe the same things. It is a safe place. We can come here and share one another's burdens. We can come here and pray for one another. Isn't that right? And by the way, we have a potluck downstairs and you're all invited. We can go down there and fellowship. Are you with me? I'm so thankful for the Hallies and the ministry we have of the potluck. We can go down there and fellowship. Praise the Lord, we have that. I go to churches, there are some don't have it at all. We have that. But I want to say something else too. Brothers and sisters, let's invite one another to our homes. Let's invite one another to our homes too. There's something special about doing that. And not only that, but let's be aware of visitors that may need an invitation too. What do you say? It is a day of fellowship and worship together. Number two, doing good for others. Think about that. Acts of necessity and mercy are permitted on the Sabbath. The sick and the suffering are to be cared for. What an opportunity to do something kind and loving for someone else. If you don't have time during the week, you've got it on the Sabbath, perhaps to visit someone, to make that phone call that we couldn't make during the week, to write that card. And it's neat, we have a card ministry here that we have, Miss Denise. And so if you're wondering where the cards are coming from, Miss Denise is our representative there. And that's love that's sent out by mail. You know, the Lord, if there's things we can take care of 6 days during the week, He wants us to do it then. And one thing we must never do is violate our conscience. So if we're not comfortable with it, we're good. If the Lord will give you peace, if it's okay. If He doesn't give you peace, you're okay. Does that make sense? There is a difference between an emergency and one that isn't. Does that make sense? Thank you, sister, for asking that question. It's a wonderful question. You know, people in the hospital need a doctor. Doctors need the Sabbath off too, by the way. But there are times when he has to be called in, or a nurse has to be called in to care for people. And you know, the life of Jesus was caring for the sick. Isn't that right? And so that is a ministry that God permits. You know, I know people, one of my youth, in fact, I have two of my young people right here from Hendersonville. And one of my youth entered into the nursing program and is a nurse today. And when she is asked to work on the Sabbath, she takes that money that she made that day and donates it. Because it's mission work is what she does. The majority of Christ's earthly ministry was devoted to showing the merciful character of the Sabbath. It is a day for works of love and mercy towards man and beast. Isn't that true? But there's more. It's also a day for lawful work. Luke 2:12. Now it happened on the second Sabbath after the first that he went through the grain fields, and his disciples plucked the heads of the grain and ate them, and rubbing them in their hands. And some of the Pharisees said to them, "Why are you doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath?" By the way, there was nothing wrong with what they did. It was their rules. We have to be careful that we're not making up our own. Hey, I'm serious when I say that. We better be careful, and we got to make sure that we're following principle in Scripture, and I'll tell you why. If you're not following principle, and we're just making up these arbitrary rules, when our children grow up and they start thinking for themselves, they're going to end up throwing the baby out with the bathwater. We have to make sure that we're principle-based. Very, very important. Let's continue. Desire of Ages. Ellen White gives commentary here, page 285. The disciples in doing the work of Christ, during the work of who? Were engaged in God's service. And that which is, what's the next word? Necessary for the accomplishment of his work was right to do on the Sabbath day. Christ would teach his disciples and his enemies that the service of God is first of all. The object of God's work in this world is the redemption of man. Therefore, that which is necessary to be done on the Sabbath in accomplishment of this work is in accordance with Sabbath law. And we see some gentlemen right here who are taking care of our audio and visual. They are working. There are places that they would be paid for that. They're working. We have teachers downstairs and up here who are teaching. Are you with me? There is a work that is lawful. Let's continue number 4. The Sabbath is to be a what? A delight. Time in nature for meditation and prayer, for Bible study and physical rest. The Sabbath, brothers and sisters, is a memorial of creation. And God designed that the Sabbath should direct the minds of men to His created works. And through this work, get to know Him as our Creator. Take a look at Psalms 19, 1 through 3. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament show His handiwork. Day unto day utters what? Speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. And so it's a time to spend out in nature. How do you like that command? Time to be spent out there. You know, when I was growing up in California, and I didn't know the Lord, you know, the city is a rat race, and in that busyness and hurriedness and tension and the pressures, there were times that I felt like I was just going to come out of my skin. Anybody else? I don't know how else to describe that. I was going to flip out. And in L.A., where I grew up in Glendale, I was really blessed in that there were some botanical gardens around us. We had Descanso Gardens. Okay, I see a few heads nodding. Yes, Descanso. And then there is the Huntington Library and the L.A. Arboretum. And it's very interesting that in those days that I thought I was going to just lose my mind, I would find myself, back then, by the way, they were free. But I used to go. And my favorite was Descanso. There was something about being under those California scrub oaks. There was something about those camellias that lined the walkway. Or the little cottage on the hill and the ivy that led up to it. I think about the rose garden there underneath those giant ginkgos. And I remember the pond with all of those fish and the ducks. And as I walked there, all that madness just seemed to flow out of me. And by the time I left, I was at peace. without realizing it, I had encountered God. God was there. And you know, brothers and sisters, there's actually something healing about spending time in nature. I'm serious. Healing for the mind as well as for the body. But spending that time. In Desire of Ages 281, it says, the Sabbath calls our thoughts to nature and brings us into communion with the Creator. In the songs of the bird, listen to this, in the songs of the bird and the sighing of the trees and the music of the sea, we still may hear His voice who talked with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day. And as we behold His power in nature, we find comfort. How many here need comfort? We find comfort, for the Word that created all these things is that which speaks life into the soul. What is that? Amazing. Let's keep reading. Education 251. Parents, by the way, when you get home, read this chapter. I encourage you to. Education 251. Across the fields, along the shores of the lake and through the groves, happy the father and mother who can teach their children God's written word with illustrations from the open pages of the book of nature, who can gather under the green tree in the fresh, pure air to study the word and to sing the praise of the Father above. Isn't that awesome? I really encourage you to read. There's lots of Sabbath ideas there for parents. But look at the paragraph actually continues. By such associations, parents may bind their children to their hearts and thus to God by ties that can never be broken. How about an amen to that?
Amen.
Amazing. The Sabbath keeping involves joy and rest. And the last is Sabbath keeping involves hope. The Sabbath, brothers and sisters, points us to Jesus. Did you know that? Not only as our Creator, but as our Redeemer. When Jesus finished working those 6 days, He rested on the seventh from the work He had done. And when He came to this world to be our sacrifice, when He died, Friday He died, what did He do on Sunday? He rose. What did He do on Sabbath? He rested from His work that He had accomplished in paying the price for you and me. He rested on the Sabbath. The Sabbath points to Jesus Christ as our righteousness. In Ezekiel 20, this is amazing, and we're coming into a close here. Stay with me. I know we're tired, and I know it's warm in here, but stay with me. Ezekiel 20, verse 12, this is an amazing verse. Moreover, I also give them my Sabbath to be a sign between them and me, that they might know that I am the God who what? He sanctifies me. And the Sabbath is the down payment. It is the sign. It is the evidence that God is transforming my life. Brothers and sisters, this tells me that for me to keep the Sabbath holy, I must be holy. And the only one who can get me there is Jesus. He's the only one that can get me there. The Sabbath is a sign of Christ's power to make us holy. Creation points to His power to recreate. What assurance you and I have to all who receive the Sabbath as a sign of Christ's creative and redemptive power, it will be a delight. Why? I'll tell you why. Think. On creation day, God said, let there be light. And there was light. Okay, how did He do that? Yeah, but how do you do that with words? And then there was no planet. And He said, let there be a planet. He spoke something into existence. How do you do that? I don't know, but we're here. Isn't that right? You know what that tells me? The Sabbath is a reminder that God can bring light out of the darkness of my life.
Amen.
That reminds me that God can make in me righteousness where there is none. And so the Sabbath is a day of hope. I can look at the tree and the cloud and everything and say, if you can make that, you can change me. You can change me. By the way, have you ever wondered why the commandment begins with remember? You know, one of the reasons it says that is because we got to remember where we came from. He created us. God also said, remember, to remind the children at Sinai that the Sabbath preexisted their journey to Sinai. But if you ask an Adventist why God says remember, the patent Adventist answer is because God knew they would forget. I submit to you there's a whole lot more to it than that. Didn't we forget the other nine? I mean, is the world keeping the nine and this is just the one they forgot? We forgot all 10. If it was just a matter of forgetting, why didn't He just go, remember, 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 remember? He said, remember to one. Why? Because the Sabbath is key in keeping the other nine. We can't keep the Sabbath without a connected relationship with God. We can't keep the other nine commandments. It's not possible. It's only through the power of Christ working in our lives that we can keep the other nine. And the Sabbath is the sign of that relationship. Does that make sense? That's why he said, remember, it is the key that unlocks obedience to the other nine. The Sabbath is a blessing. Desire of Ages 289. To all who receive the Sabbath as a sign of Christ's creative and redemptive power, it will be a delight. Seeing Christ in it, they delight themselves in Him. The Sabbath points them to the works of creation as an evidence of His mighty power in redemption. While it calls to mind the lost peace of Eden, it tells of peace restored through the Savior. And every object in nature repeats this invitation, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." We rest in the work of Christ. You know, when I was teaching at Wachita, we were renting a piece of property. It was an old farmhouse, and it was 150 acres. 17 of it was cleared, and it was a hayfield in the back. And on Sabbath, I would walk out into that hayfield after they had mowed it, and I would just stand in the middle of that field, and I would listen to the sound of the breeze through those trees. I would feel that warm sunshine on my face. I would listen to the sounds of the birds, and I would watch as those clouds, those giant ships, would silently pass across the sky. And there I would talk with God. I met with Him there. The Sabbath is precious. Brothers and sisters, I want to share you an amazing quote. Look at this quote. This is mind-blowing. Dear Lord, help us to see. Volume 2, Testimony 704. All heaven, this is Ellen White in vision. All heaven was represented to me as beholding and watching upon the Sabbath those who acknowledge the claims of the fourth commandment and are observing the Sabbath. Stop right there. What are the inhabitants of other worlds doing on the Sabbath? They're watching us. Watch. I continue on. Angels are marking their interest in it and high regard for this divine institution. Those who sanctified the Lord God in their hearts by a strict devotional frame of mind and who sought to improve the sacred hours in keeping the Sabbath to the best of their ability and to honor God by calling the Sabbath a delight, these the angels were specially blessing with light and health, and special strength was given them. Does that blow your mind? They're watching. And the angels go, hey, look at this guy. Look at Jacob. Jacob is really trying to the best of his ability. Send some angels down to bless him. Are you with me? How many here, by the way, need strength? The Lord has promised to give strength and health, by the way. He promises to keep both. I'm going to ask my family if they'll come up here. We want to sing a song for you as we prepare to close. God took 6 days and created earth and moon, the stars and sun. On the seventh day He rested from the work that He had done. Then He blessed it, made it holy, as a gift for every man, to remind us where we came from and just how this world began. Holy day, purified, set apart, sanctified, enter into joy divine in a temple made of time. See Him worship on the Sabbath as His weekly custom was. Feel the fury of the rabbis, for He would not heed their laws. So they killed Him on a hillside as the sun began to fade. But He even
set apart, sanctified, enter into joy divine, in a temple made of time, of forsaken and forgotten, desecrated and profaned, but the sacred fourth commandment is still valid and unchanged. Hear the Father gently calling, if you love me, heed each one. Not for merit or salvation, but because you love my Son. Holy day, purified, set apart, sanctified, enter into joy divine, in a temple made. You will find joy divine in this temple made of time.
Brothers and sisters, the Lord is coming. Let us remember that the Sabbath is about more than just going to church on the right day. The Sabbath is an experience that involves communion with our Creator and our Redeemer. Let us show our love and loyalty to Jesus by observing His Sabbath the way He commanded it, and that the world may see that it truly is a delight to serve the Lord by the fact that we keep His day holy. Our Father, Lord, we have learned some new things today. Our hearts have been pricked. Father, we recognize the invitation to enter into a deeper experience with You. But Father, also we recognize that there are some changes that need to be made in our lives. And some of them, Lord, are mountains. But Father, help us to remember that You're the one who levels mountains. You don't call us to anything that You are not also ready to give us the power to perform. All Your biddings are enablings. And so, Lord, I pray that our faith will not falter, but that we will look to You and trust that You will guide us step by step and keep us until that day that we meet You face to face in the kingdom. Lord, we know that the test is upon us. Soon, things in this world and in this country are going to change at a speed that we never thought of. But Father, help us to remember to learn to walk with You now so that we can walk with You then. We thank You, Lord. Be with each. Bless them, Lord, richly is my prayer. And I ask this all in Christ's name. Amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.